rear window, that trombone shot, though.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Hey, gang, how you going?
Good.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Greetings from my home office to your studio.
Indeed.
Windows are open, I trust?
Windows are open. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Cat snoozing. That's probably the right thing to do at this time of the day, unless you've got the radio on.
It's mad dank. It's a good old...
See how I just saved my ass then? That's lucky. Woof. Hey, so what have you guys been watching over the last week since we talked last?
Last night I fell asleep watching The Quiet Earth, an old 1985 New Zealand jaunt, post-apocalyptic.
Oh,
yeah, dude. I mean, I fell asleep, but I'm definitely going to keep watching it at some point. But, yeah, it looked pretty good from the get.
Were you just kind of, now that we're starting to get a little bit more mobile and more people hitting the streets, it's like, oh, better get this movie in where it's just one dude walking around Hamilton all by himself.
Is that where it is, Hamilton? It's so good because it's the city of the future. It's fucking...
Indeed, in terms of that future was...
But it's impressive. I just could have perused the New Zealand section of a certain movie place and found that. There's a few gems yet to be seen, it would seem.
Now, there's a really great edition of The Quiet Earth that is, I can't quite see it from where I'm sitting. I believe it's the American, the most recent version of the American Blu-ray. And as well as being a really nice remastered version of the film, it's got a feature-length commentary by renowned astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Whoa.
And it is hilarious.
That's quite rare, though.
It turns out it's one of his favorite films.
Right, of course.
he just kind of like eases into that like kind of calm Chuck Lee persona. And it's just so funny. Of course, you know, deGrasse Tyson's renowned for kind of picking apart the science of film.
Mm-hmm.
If something comes out, he's early on the bandwagon of saying, well, that's just garbage, which can be a bit of a killjoy attitude sometimes, but that's okay. In fact, I've just found some of the excerpts I took out of this a couple of years ago. He even nitpicks the media. He says, it's one of my favorite films, although I assume the press misrepresent that sentence as, I think it's one of the greatest films ever. It's not what I said. Neil, I wouldn't misquote you, but I think if that's the level of complaint that you're making on the commentary track of the movie that we're talking about, yeah. From my copious notes on this made previously, it only takes 17 seconds for Tyson to begin analysing and complimenting the film's science. So that's pretty nifty. He talks about the part where Bruno Lawrence wears a woman's nightie. And so that's kind of
no mention
kind
of the
interesting.
Almost immediate male nudity right off the bat.
No, but that's pretty confronting, isn't it?
Yeah, I was like, shit, then this earth is pretty loud, right? Kind of early in, quite a loud earth, actually.
I think
there's definitely no one else around if you're just doing that.
Well, he's in a motel. You can free ball in a motel. It's fine. I think apart from like an opening shot of genitalia, that must be up there with the record of fastest genitalia on screen.
It's pretty decent.
You know, any stopwatch enthusiasts out there should put that to the test. Now, you may or may not be familiar with the character Uppy in the film, who might appear a little bit later. I might be spoiling the film for you a little bit, Cam, but there's a character that has a bit of a resemblance to Neil deGrasse Tyson. So he says, I'm not saying this.
Okay.
I think that's kind of nice that he shares an affinity for a kind of leather-clad Māori character from a New Zealand film, so good on him.
No, I haven't gotten very far in, so I'm keen to definitely keep
watching. I think watch it without the Tyson commentary, but
yeah,
definitely
for sure.
At some point make a note to seek it out, because you know, I don't think there's many other examples of a kind of major personality doing a commentary to a film that probably not even enough New Zealanders have seen.
Yeah, I don't know. Just, you know, it's funny what isn't on your radar at all, but it's top quality. So,
can't rate this film enough.
What have you been watching?
It's a very nice segue there. I'm very late to this party. This is not a new release, but I...
Mine was from 1985, so...
Yeah, mine's newer than yours. Mine's at least from the recent releases section of the video store. Remember those?
Mm.
This came out here in February on Apple TV, but I was late to catch up, and I've actually been enjoying it so much, I've been rationing the episodes so as not to burn through it too fast. And this is the show For All Mankind, which is Apple's big budget alternate history of a space race, but one in which the Soviet Union was the first country to put men on the moon. So sort of follows a kind of the right stuff, astronaut type tale. It's got some nice sort of soapy... Wait, sorry.
When does the two realities split? Like in the 60s, they land on.
Yeah, so they kind of diverge at the peak of
the race to
put people on the moon.
Cool.
And then, the Cold War being what it is, of course the Americans have to scramble to not only catch up to that achievement but surpass it. It's a fascinatingly written show. The way events diverge from reality are great. Technology is good enough that they can have presidential speeches and kind of deep fake them so that they work really well on screen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really nice mix of maintaining all those things that are really interesting about the space program, the pressure, the training, and the danger, but not knowing what's going to happen next, and also in a show that really enjoys taking quite kind of big time jumps between parts of its storytelling. It's a real thrill to watch, and it has a final shot of the second season. Season one was 2019. That's what I started catching up on this year, and just finished season two. Ends on a shot which, on the big screen at my place, induced vertigo in the best possible way. Like I felt my stomach lift in the way that a roller coaster does. Really spectacular, and I cannot wait for a third season of the show. So if you are not watching For All Mankind and you like something that's a mix of kind of the right stuff, astronauts, bit of home front soapiness, and maybe a kind of touch of Mad Men to it, should check it out.
What platform is that streaming on, Steve?
That's on Apple TV Plus. The network, which kind of keeps slowly and steadily adding shows. There's another show on there at the moment that I'm watching called Dr. Brain, which is a mince title, and B, it is a pretty interesting premise with a scientist who can go into people's memories, or more accurately, can kind of take on people's memories. But I'm going to finish watching this before I talk about it further in case it turns garbage and I've let everyone down the garden path with it.
Nice one.
But yeah, the Apple TV's approach of kind of, yeah, sort of slowly adding content, but producing generally kind of quality over quantity, I think was working pretty well for them.
Steve, I watched that latest Tom Hanks one where he's hanging out with a robot and a dog.
Oh, yeah, I haven't found myself enough time to do that yet. How was it?
I would describe it as sort of a really, really far apart sequel from Castaway, pretty much. Just pretend like he never gets off the island of Castaway until ages ahead, and somehow it's a time travel island, and then he's just mucking around with a robot, and they're trying to sort of pitch AI as this pretty cool thing that can help us out. I think it's some kind of AI conditioning movie, actually.
I see. Well, I mean, go figure, right? I mean,
it's pretty hearty. It's hearty. You know, there's some tugs in there.
I mean, it's Hanksy. It's going to get that way, isn't it?
It's Tom Hanks AF. Big time.
I mean, you put him with a robot and the dog, and I think we're kind of know what's going on. But what a surprise that a film that's on Apple TV Plus is pro technology.
Right.
Even in an apocalypse, it sounds like.
The dog was
corporate propaganda to me.
The dog is the kind of the most suspect. So you can kind of side with the dog if you're that way inclined.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Well, I'm gonna without having even seen this film, I'm gonna counter recommend post-apocalyptic film A Boy and His Dog, which may approach some of the same territory, but also has a more interesting, well, I presume a more interesting plot line about reproducing the human species and also strange societies that live underground.
Oh, good. A little Demolition Man in there.
Yeah. Feel like digging something out? Then there's a little gem from the 70s starring a very young Don Johnson.
Okay.
He was young once. and just before, I think before we wrap up today, just a quick RIP to actor Dean Stockwell, who passed away overnight. Beautiful scene from his performance in Blue Velvet doing the rounds today. Also,
crazy.
His iconic character in Quantum Leap.
Yeah. Quantum Leap guy. Hang it out. He was smoking a stogie. Yes.
He was the man, for sure. That's me. Oh, John, what's been happening in your viewing land?
Not too much. Just dipped into a bit of Dark Side of the 90s, which is, it's all right.
Speaking of, I wouldn't say
it's a home run, but...
What happened to the other guy from Quantum Leap? What's he doing?
I have no idea, actually.
I mean, he's just kicking about.
Yeah.
He's in a really great Clive Barker horror called Lord of Illusions, which is worth checking out if you're looking to add things to your... your watch list.
Lord of Illusions.
Okay, good. You know, I just thought we'd check in with him before we're just kind of saying RIP and we don't know what happened to him. You know?
That's fair. No, he's still kicking.
I watched the recent Curb Your Enthusiasm with the pre-funeral idea, which is a fantastic one. The funeral before you're actually dead.
Strong episode. I wasn't quite as taken by episode two, but I thought this week's episode is kind of heading back in the right direction again.
Yeah.
If you're not keeping up with Curb, it's still working 11 seasons in. It's
yeah,
already
definitely.
Working well.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the idea that this season may very well be a tour through all of the different streaming services operating at the moment as he kind of larries along trying to get a show made. I mean, it all looked like it was going to be made, and what happened? Larry David happened.
Hanging out for Righteous Gemstones as well.
Oh, yeah, man.
Just seen the
wow.
preview for that, so stoked.
Exciting.
It's like they were listening to us after that speculation about when you might get to see it again.
Do you think we'll see it in New Zealand the same time it pops out in the States, or will we be a bit behind?
I'd say soonish. I mean, it doesn't feel like it's been a...
we still got that cable.
It doesn't feel like it's been a huge kind of cut-through of a show, right? Like... definitely has fans, but it's not really a water cooler show of everyone chatting about it, so I don't know. Neon's pretty good at turning around the HBO content fairly quickly, so it's in the US January 9. Hopefully we'll see it around the same kind of time. Sounds like I've got some catching up to do because I haven't watched nearly enough of it.
That's good. So good.
Alright, Steve.
On that note, I'm gonna go and
1, 2, 3 movies.
Start getting some righteous gems.
Bye,
gents.
Okay.
Catch you next week.
Bye, Steve. Thank you.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.